Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, can a person come back from the dead? It's not just for zombie shows anymore. Today we hear a story of a woman in the prime of her life who simply dropped dead. A series of unexplained events that followed her untimely passing leave her friends and family wondering, did she come back from the dead?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write in on our website. Share your ghost story with us. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com is the website. And if you really like the show and you want to support it and get bonus episodes, our best episodes, every single week, a new one, and access to our massive archive of 260 some of these things is available. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up. $5 a month, get access to all the bonus episodes. You also get advanced episodes of this program as we make them. You get those a couple weeks in advance, commercial free as well. Or if you'd like Patreon, if you want to do that platform to get all the EPP stuff, you can do it there too. Patreon.com/RealGhostStories is the place to do that. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
I'm intrigued about this woman coming back from the dead.
I am too. The dead rising. It's always, it's a great, it's a good thing to bring up at like at a dinner party with strangers. So, I think the dead can rise from the grave? Well, pass the potatoes.
She might look like crap because she's been dead.
Yeah.
But give her a break.
You never know.
She was dead.
Have you ever had a conversation with anyone where you you bring up ghost stuff, just kind of, you know, you don't really know the other person, and you get like a really weird look or a really strange reaction ever?
It's funny because since I've been doing this with you, I get a lot of people tell me ghost stories.
Uh-huh.
Or like when we were at the Crescent Hotel, there was a guy who was like, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, but this yeah. one time, you get a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I like hearing them.
Sure.
You know, it's like a friend of mine recently was telling me that he was at home and there's someone walking around upstairs, but it's an attic. So there's nobody up there.
It's an attic or an addict.
He's convinced it's a homeless person living in his house. And I'm like, maybe it's not a homeless person living in your house. And he's like, yeah, but if it's not a homeless person, it's a ghost. And I'm like, well, I mean, go look to see if it's a homeless person. At least debunk that theory.
Narrow it down. It's either attic movements or an addict's movements. One of the two.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get a kick out of it. I really like hearing ghost stories, though.
It's always good to go in there and try and eliminate all possibilities, of course, just in case. A long time ago in the show, and I don't remember all the details, but it was one of those stories that somebody had wrote in saying, this is going to sound like a really great ghost story. At the end, you'll find out it's not. But it just is like one of those lessons of until you look into this, a lot of things can seem like ghosts, and it was very similar to that, where it was these noises underneath the house. And they thought, well, what the heck is going on here? There's no basement. They didn't know what it was, but like the floors would like creak and like bump almost like someone was walking on them. Turns out there was someone living in their crawl space that was like just hitting their head on the floorboards above. And
I would rather have a ghost. I think
I would too. I would take a ghost.
Because that's really creepy.
You just never know what you're going to get when you have a random person living in a spare portion of your home that's uninhabitable. It could be just...
Well, then it makes me think when you're gone, then it's like, hey, got the house to myself. I'll go take a shower.
Yeah. Exactly. You never really know what you're going to get. It's kind of, it's like a mixed bag. It's like a, one of those grab bags. Like it could be a good one. It could be a bad one. You just don't know. But it's for you to make sure it is not just that going on in your house. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's jump over to our first letter of the day. It says, I have a friend named Sarah who went to Harley with me. I met her through my friend, a Rose. We spent time with each other every day of the week and 2 days of the other week. On Wednesday, we went to Cape Cod and did a tour, went to an aquarium, then played on the beach for a while. We then got back on the bus and ate dinner. Rose and I texted her to see if she was okay. And yes, she was okay. She said she missed us. We then went to dinner, ate dinner, played on the beach a little bit more, got on the bus, and went back to our hotel. We wanted to go swimming, but it was too late, hung out in our rooms, and went to sleep. We then woke up, ate breakfast, got our stuff ready, jumped on the bus, and got ready to go kayaking and hiking. We arose, we texted our friend in the morning. She said she was doing just fine. We sensed that something was wrong with her, and she didn't want to tell us because it would scare us, though. Got done kayaking and hiking, got back on the bus, start driving to Providence for lunch, get souvenirs, and a whale boat tour. Halfway through the trip, teachers tell us that they have important info to tell us. They read the email from someone, started crying and telling us that they needed to think about this event themselves before telling us what they should do. They tell us that our friend, who had we been talking to, that had communicated with us early that wanted to stay in, had died, and the cause of her death was unknown. There'll be grief counselors available at the school that we were at. The teachers will be there to support us in need. We started crying, but my friend and I arose much more upset. We had a special connection with her. The teachers asked us if we were okay. We said yes. It was 8 days that she'd been with us. Then she unexpectedly dies of an unknown cause, which scared us because we never had anything happen like this before in our school. We continue and still felt very upset on this trip. She'd recently been visiting me in my dreams and has appeared to me as a spirit, and I can sense her presence because every night before I have a dream of her, the candle in my room starts flickering. Whenever I have a dream about her, it feels like this has been helping me a bit with my grief. Nights when my candle does not flicker, I don't have the dream. When it flickers, she comes to me in dreams. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's something? Is that a sign? Is that a sign on the other side that there's a communication that's about to happen with the candle flickering and then other nights it's not?
I mean, it could be. It could be, you know, it's close to event and she notices
there's a lot of possibilities, yeah.
But the crazy thing is, like, I, as you well know, have kind of had experience with this, and you don't really need the candle as a sign. I mean, it could happen. Mm-hmm. That person could come to you in your dream without a candle flickering.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool if it's like, hey, although then I would never sleep. Because if the candle would flicker and then I'd be like, man, I'm going to fall asleep and I'm expecting it too, then is it real because you're expecting it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I can't say I've ever seen a candle that didn't flicker, to be completely honest. Like, has anyone ever seen a candle just be completely still and not flicker? That's...
You've just made a really valid point.
I'd love to see that. Like, that to me would be freaky. It's like, holy shit, the candle is not flickering. Like, that to me would be like, oh God, here comes the Grim Reaper. But, you know, even with no air, no vents, nothing, they still flicker. I don't know.
Well, and I just don't think a candle flickering necessarily is a sign. Yeah. Because I think that could happen regardless.
I think she's just looking for some sort of a sign to validate the dreams. And yeah. In some cases, you'll get it. In some cases, you won't. I honestly don't know if the candle is much of a sign, because like I said, I've never seen a candle that didn't flicker. I think it's you know, if you believe and you can tell that your dream is strongly different than others.
You really can when that happens. It's like, it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just like you wake up feeling you just were with that person.
Mm-hmm. And it's a personal thing.
But at least they didn't rise from the dead.
No.
Because I was like, man, so you're dead for X amount of time, then you rose from the dead, and
well,
that would be a lot.
It's early in the show. Let's see what the next story has to say. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, a friend of mine passed away several years ago under very tragic circumstances. She was experiencing health issues, and when her lease was up, she was going home to live with her father. Their mother had recently died. The moving truck was nearly packed, and she and her father had dinner at a local restaurant where we were planning to finish packing the next day. When he showed up the following morning, we found her dead on the floor, still wearing the same clothing from the night before, even her jacket, and gripping onto her car keys. It was a terribly sad situation, and our entire community was rocked. At first, I thought my grief made me imagine what happened, but having a few years to reflect on it, I believe this was a culmination of several supernatural events. Number one, I was sitting with her brother on the steps of their childhood home looking at my old house. We were neighbors as kids and thinking about the old days of our childhood. He was working on her phone to find contact information for people to invite to the memorial, and I was helping him, so I was paying close attention to the phone. His wife called him on his phone, and he set his sister's phone down, locking the screen. During the phone call with his wife, they were talking about his sister, and this was an obvious time of deep grief for all of us, especially the immediate family members. Without warning, the sister's phone began playing music. We were in shock by there's no reason the phone should have gone off. He picked up the phone, unlocked it, and a YouTube video was playing. The app was not even open, and it was playing in the middle of a movie that was a childhood favorite of his sister's. The song playing was part of a movie where this guy basically transforms from a human into a monster, and the music was this creepily beautiful music about life and death. Pretty sure that was his sister reaching out to us. Number two, the following evening I was standing on a street corner with another childhood friend. We were talking about our deceased friend as we were still grieving ourselves and discussing a plan to check on her father. But we were worried for him and his well-being, having just found his daughter dead. While we were talking, the night grew very still, and I heard wind chimes. This was strange, but there was no breeze and no wind chimes to be seen. It was this moment I realized my friend was probably spending her days with her children. She had two small kids of her own and her nights with those of us who were grieving her loss. Number three, at the memorial service, I was photographing the kids playing together on the playground equipment outside of the event hall. This was the same playground that we had played on 30 years earlier as children. Different upgraded playground equipment, but the same park. I snapped random photos of the kids throughout the day. At one point, I got several photos in a row of a light shining down on the kids. This occurred at a point where the girls were sitting in quiet contemplation, in my opinion, is that moment captured on film was a moment of my friend reaching out to hug her daughter and her niece with sunlight. It took several pictures at several angles by the sunlight, appearing to be the strongest on her daughter, the little girl on the left in my pictures. I posted one up for you. There is no filter and no trickery. This lasted for a while as the girls were sitting still. A cousin is in the background. He climbs up to sit with them also. It's such a moving moment that all of us adults were just quietly watching. None of us said a word. The girls didn't say or do anything. And the little boy cousin sat atop with them quietly. Not your typical kid behavior. A truly beautiful moment, albeit a heartbreaking moment. And number four, a few weeks and the memorials were complete. Her affairs settled for the most part, and while we were all still processing our grief, things were resuming as they do when you're an adult and responsible for work. Other family events, etc. I was still shaken up, but smiles were beginning to return to our faces as the grief reduced itself from all-consuming to occasional moments of sad reflection. I'd not had one dream of my friend at this point. I wanted to have a dream of her to achieve some sort of closure as I've experienced dreams with other friends and family members who passed, but I didn't have even one dream of her to this point. Then one night I was awakened from a deep sleep by a scream in my head. It wasn't any scream. It was my friend's voice screaming in rage. It faded away as if there was a distance expanding between us. I woke up and thought maybe it was my grief making me hallucinate. But over time, I believed this was my friend being pulled into another place. Whether that was heaven or reincarnation is anyone's guess, but I feel as though she had stuck around as long as she could, and the scream was her reaching out in frustration as she pulled away to continue her life after death journey. Knowing my friend, she would have wanted to remain with us as much as possible, to show us little signs of her presence when possible. To comfort us, she was a loving, giving soul. I'm certain she would not have wanted to leave her father and children. Her family and other friends had all experienced various signs of her presence during the days following her death. I don't know where she is now, but I haven't seen or heard anything since that night. I woke up to her scream. Thoughts?
This is a really sad story.
It is.
I had two really sad stories in a row. I totally believe like that there can be some communication, mm-hmm. and we've discussed that before.
Yep.
But I totally do feel that. I've always kind of felt like, but you don't know what happens once you're dead. But I've always kind of felt like you can hang, like it's more your choice, maybe.
Like choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Like I want to kind of hang out and be there for my kids, mm-hmm. or at least watch them for a while. I've never really heard of a story or thought about like someone screaming and being pulled away so they can't do that.
No.
I've never thought of it like that. But because I did have a dream once with Doug, and we did that whole episode with about him. But he came to me in this dream, and in that dream, he told me this is the last time. Like, I knew that would be the... And I've had dreams of him since, but it's not the same kind of dream. Mm-hmm. So I also get what she's saying about she didn't have that happen again, that dream.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I always just think as a parent, you know, if she had a daughter that... you wouldn't be leaving. Like you would be, I don't know, like the equivalent of a guardian angel for your kid. If that's what you wanted. But I don't know.
It's a matter of, you know, it's like if you can pick what you want. Sure. I think a lot of us would pick that if that's, you know, the time that you passed. It's just a matter of, you know, but what are the rules, I think, is what it comes down to. And that's what I think a lot of the questions are that a lot of us have is, okay, well, can we go do the guardian angel thing? Or do we only have a little bit of time to go and, you know, tell everybody, hey, I'm over here, you know, or are you confused? Are you not able to communicate? Does it take a lot of work? I mean, it's just because some ghosts make it seem pretty darn easy. And some, it's like, holy shit, it took you 80 years to make yourself known to some folks who didn't know who you were. So it's all kind of comes down to, I think, the logistics that trouble us the most.
It's like, then you've got, you know, other ghosts that are haunting a place for years and years and years. But then, like, this woman wasn't necessarily a ghost. Mm-hmm. There's other signs. And I think a lot of us have had those signs from someone who died.
Yeah.
And I truly believe in those. So she's not really a ghost. But I think that, there's signs of her.
Yeah. I think she definitely did get those signs and they came through very evident. Thanks for
the story about the kids. Like, oh, mm-hmm. gosh.
Yeah.
I was like tearing up.
Well, I got another great one here about kids.
Am I dying?
Yeah. Kids and pets, whether they have kids or pets or neither. And a dog dying. I'm Casey Kasem.
Let's skip that one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Do we have a happy ghost story like a ghost that's like awesome and fun?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything like that?
I don't know. I have no idea what these calls are. So let's take a listen to one. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Brittany. I'm calling out of St. Louis, Missouri. My story is a little long, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. Back when I was 3 years old, my father was killed. And shortly after, we moved down, and I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, I remember as a kid... I would like sit on the steps outside, or I would be in my room and I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would wake up talking to him because I would see him. And at first my mom didn't believe me until one night she heard me talking in the middle of the night. And when she tried to sneak in the room, she saw me talking, but nobody was there. A few years went by and it was time for me to learn how to ride a bike. And in our apartment, we would keep my bike in this one closet. Unfortunately, I never learned how to ride the bike because every time I would open the closet, I would see my dad standing in the closet. Well, eventually, as the time went on and my mom saw how terrified I was to go in the closet, I guess she started to believe me because she told me when I got older that I stopped seeing him because she, you know, she was sad and things like that, because she kind of cried out to him and was like, hey, you have to stop this. I know you care about her, but you're scaring her. And she never heard of it. She never heard of me mentioning him again. Now I only see him in my dreams. I have another story. My mom, it was four of us, but her fourth child she lost in a stillborn. And I remember a couple of weeks after we buried him, it was me and my mom riding in the car. I don't really remember where we were heading to, but there was this this orb following the car everywhere we went. And I remember I pointed out to my mom and I was like, Mom, look, it's a white ball following us. And she told me that she believed that it was my little brother. I have other stories. I'll call back soon to share those. I'm a new listener. I just started listening at work over the past couple of weeks. Love the show. Thank you.
There you go, Carol, by request. Dead children and a dead father. Double whammy on the call. All in
I
one.
I want to hear more stories from that girl.
She's good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You wanted it. You got it.
Yeah. Because I actually really love the story of when she's a little and she's seeing her dad, but mm-hmm. then he's scaring her, of course. Mm-hmm. And then the mom's like, don't scare her. And then that was that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so interesting to me.
He respected the wishes.
Yeah. And I think your dad would. Like, your dad would be like, I don't want to not be around her, but I can't scare her.
Yeah.
Ugh. That one gave me the goosebumps. And then the orb thing, I've never even heard of that. Like an orb following your car.
I can't say I've ever seen like one outside of a videotape that like moves around. But if you're actually seeing it with your eyes, that would be, it'd be kind of terrifying, quite honestly. Even if you do kind of make peace with it and go, oh, it's my child or this or that. I think, eventually you could probably find some comfort with it. But I think initially you're going down the road and there's an orb following you. I don't know what I would think. I'd be a little paranoid by that.
I'm just telling you, at this point in my life, if that happened to me, that'd scare the shit out of me.
I think it's like somebody coming along.
I would be like,
along.
I think that's my stillborn child. Yeah. Well, because it couldn't be. But... Because that's not possible. But I would find that terrifying.
Yeah, I think I would too. And I think also where my mind would go would be to the dark side of it, where it's like, oh my God, is my time coming? Is this like a ghost or like someone from the other side that's coming to like help me cross over? And that's why they're following me, because they know it's like about to happen. Is there something I don't know? I think that's where I just lock myself in my house and not leave. And then you probably have a heart attack and die from just eating fast food every day that, you know, you get sent in from Grubhub. It's like, oh shit, I shouldn't have kept eating all that fried chicken, but I couldn't leave the house because I didn't want into the car accident. And you just end up dying by asphyxiation from KFC.
Yeah. And who wants to order a salad off a Grubhub?
Exactly. Nobody does that shit. Just don't even put it on the app menu. It's just it's a waste of space.
I'm not gonna order anything healthy.
Who the hell would do that shit? So no. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this story. A long time ago, I worked at a auto parts store. And right across the street was a radio station. And the town that I worked in, it was known for having a lot of Native American activity going on around it back in the 1800s. And there's even a massacre of settlers coming in that happened right outside that town. So one day I was working and I was at the counter. Nobody was in the building except my manager, who was using the restroom. And I, clear as day, I'm standing at the counter and I hear footsteps behind me. And I turn around and look, nobody's there. And I went and walked around the whole entire store and couldn't find a single person. And most of the time I never really believed in ghost stories. I always thought it was just kind of a way to just have fun or kind of scare yourself a little bit. But after this experience, I was like, that's crazy. My manager came walking out of the restroom and she was walking and I told her to stop. Like I said, stop walking and be quiet. And anyway, she looks at me and she goes, oh, you hear footsteps, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, there is some crazy stuff that happens at this place. And she told me a story that she had a guy call in for a part and she sat the part on a counter and it was a relatively heavy part, like a starter or an alternator. And the guy came in and he's asking, hey, do you have my part? And she's like adamant that she sat it down right at the spot. And she found the part that she pulled mixed with a whole bunch of other parts that shouldn't be there. And doesn't make sense of why that part would be there. But that's another thing that happened. So right across the street, as I mentioned earlier before, is a radio station. And I worked at that radio station. And one day the program director told me on summer days, they always like to kind of keep, you know, lights dimmed down. You know, you don't want too much heat in that room, in that studio due to all the computers. And you don't want them to get over hot or overheated. And so I thought I'd kind of just make it extra cool, just shut all the lights off. I had the computer screens going and also had a TV going. It was College Football Saturday. I was pretty excited about it. And I had the lights off, and right next to me is another studio. And all of a sudden, like, it was like the lights in that studio turned on. And I thought, that's really weird. And it's a Saturday. Usually there's nobody there. And I got up and I went and I walked around and couldn't find anybody. It was the craziest thing ever. I really didn't feel scared. I was just more like, okay, this is crazy. You know, first of all, I had footsteps across the street and now I have lights coming on. It's pretty crazy. As I said before, I never really believed in the paranormal. But now that I've had some stuff happen to me, I'm kind of more or less like, okay, maybe there's something going on. But I just want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to the story. Hope to hear it later on. Have a good one.
I'm going to have to guess that area of land probably as a whole has something connected with it.
I would think so, since they were right next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, where you have the haunted stuff going at the radio station and at the store across the street.
And it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where people are like, I don't believe in ghosts, but then something that you can't explain happens.
Yeah.
And that kind of happened to that guy. Like, he didn't really believe until some things happened to him that you can't explain. You know, because lights just don't turn on by themselves.
No, they don't.
When you hear footsteps, there should be a person.
So is that the reason that I've never heard the reasoning of turn all the lights off in the radio station so things don't overheat? I just thought most of the time radio station studios were dark because most of the employees were hungover or high at the same time. And it's like, we just want it dark.
Well, and I think now I don't know when that happened.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, you know, the equipment was different than it is now.
Sure.
And most of the, because, you know, there's a room at every radio station that has all the guts of the radio station in it.
Yeah.
That room could get hot.
Sure.
I'm guessing. Because they do have ventilation in those rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he didn't sound like a very old guy.
Those rooms also, do you remember?
I'm just telling you what, if I work and they'd be like, you got to shut all the lights out to work here. And you're like, oh, hell no.
I feared walking down to the equipment room at that station that we were at together because it was in the basement and kind of back off by itself. But there are so many things that like have happened in that room where there was one time there was a snake that was like loose in there and nobody knew where it was. And it took him like a week or so. Do you remember that? It was, I don't know, probably like 10 years
ago. Yeah, and then there's frogs.
Yeah, we had a plague of frogs that was literally a plague of frogs.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell that, it was unbelievable. It was like biblical. You could not walk without stepping on a frog. And they had to, I remember like people scooping them up in cups. And there had to have been like 300 or more frogs in that basement all at once.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane. It was like really kind of like Amityville curse. Like, it was like, what the hell is this? But I remember the scariest was not because it was paranormal, but because I remember sometimes when we got crazy heavy rain, it would flood down there in that room with all the electric equipment. And there's a big...
Yeah, it would be like... Yeah. And it's like a little waterfall.
Yeah, and there's like a ditch in that room that has all the cords in it that like run underneath everything. And that was just filled with water. And
yeah, so that's been improved.
It's like, holy shit, we're all going to die. You know? But yeah, snakes, electrocution, and a plague of frogs. Lots of possibilities there. That's a choose your own adventure right there. How'd you like to die today? But yeah.
We have options.
That was quite, and it was an advance, kind of Amazon like. It was the Amazon of Kansas. So 855-853-4802 is our number. The Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another. Caller, hi.
Hi, it's the Pest from Ohio again. Yeah, me. I thought I'd tell you about the story I promised about the church. Well, my mom and dad cleaned, it had involves them. They cleaned this, or did clean this church once a week. And one time I went with them, and it was real late at night because we had gone out dancing. And they told me to sit down where they had a certain thing that they had to do toward the back of the church. My mom went one way and my dad went another. Well, I'm sitting there trying to occupy myself, waiting for them to come back. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise. I'm thinking, no, I didn't hear what I just heard. It sounded like somebody had taken a real deep last breath. And I'm like, oh, no. It's one of them churches. No offense to the church. But, I didn't say anything when my mom and dad got back. And then a little later, I had the courage. I said, you know, when you guys were doing the last minute thing at the church? And she goes, yeah. I says, well, I heard something. And she turned around. We was in a vehicle. She turns around and she goes, oh, she says, you mean the person taking her last breath? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I've heard it too. So is your dad. It's just like somebody taking a long, deep breath and not taking another one. So we figured somebody had died in the sanctuary. Well, Dad said, well, that's not all of it. He says, when I go down the aisle to the back where they have rooms and everything clean them, the floor is tile. And one day I was inside one of the rooms cleaning them, and I heard this click, 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 like high heels on the floor. And he was thinking to himself, now I know my wife don't wear those high heels like that. So he opens the door, nobody there, closes the door, Bert goes back, proceeding to go back to work, and he hears it going in the opposite way. Click, 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 click. He says, as pretty as you can think, and hear a pair of high heels going up and down that back hallway. So there's the story, I promise you, short but cute, of the beautiful but haunted church. Keep up your good work. And take care. Bye-bye.
haunted church, places that should otherwise be, you know, almost places of peace and rest. And a lot of people find that to be the case. Others, very haunted by what they experience in those buildings.
You know, though, we've talked about that before where, like, if you're a ghost, where do you haunt? And people are connected, or ghosts are connected to places that meant a lot to them. Mm-hmm. And a church would.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of people who've given everything to a church and spent a lot of time there. And that's just a different connection, even than your house, you know?
Sure.
So I could see why a lot of churches would be haunted. Really?
You certainly, I mean, I do not consider myself an empathic person, you know, per se, or a super strong empathic person by any means. You know, how bizarre. I'm clicking on my favorites right now, and the words churches came up, and I don't know why, because I've never saved anything as churches. I'm like, well, this is weird. Yeah. I think it's like old, like, design photos from a different show. Anyway, that's just bizarre. As like reading and seeing the word church pop up on my screen, I didn't type it in. Anyhow, it's one of those things where, like you said, you have those connections to it, and it's you know, it's very spiritual. Obviously, it's a church. It's a place that you have that connection at. It makes total sense. I got lost in a church once. That was fun.
Oh, my God. That would be horrifying.
Yeah. What I was saying was about the empathic thing. I kind of lost my train of thought. It's a different feel to most churches than just going into a... you know, a 7-Eleven or something like that. Number one, it doesn't smell like taquitos usually, although sometimes it does.
Sometimes I like a taquito.
You never know. The church basement ladies can cook up a mad taquito sometime, but not usually in the north. But there's certainly a different vibe and a different energy, I think, when you're going through a church. When I was a kid, I was saying my mom was doing exactly what she was saying her parents did. She helped clean at the church.
And my mother did too, yeah, at the Methodist church.
And I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And because back then you could just let your 3 or 4 year olds wander around aimlessly, I guess. I did that. And I remember just exploring the building and loved it, because there was a tunnel underneath the church that went to the old church building. That was now like the Sunday school rooms and all of that. But this tunnel went underneath the parking lot to the other building. It was just kind of, you know, creepy.
You're 3 or 4 years old, it's and awesome. You're in a tunnel without your mother.
And I'm wandering, and it was very much, you know, paneling everywhere, very Burt Reynolds basement style church. And it was just creepy and wonderful. And then I got myself so far into the other part of the building, I was lost. It was a couple floors. I didn't know where I was going. And luckily, a man named Michael came to my rescue and took me to this place called Neverland. I'm kidding. The Sunday, not the Sunday school, the preschool, there was a preschool in this building, came and found me. He's like, where are you going, you young man? And then I went and hung out with the preschool kids, and I ended up going to the preschool the next year and loved it. And it was a great preschool, but I was lost. I didn't know where to go or how to be found. And my mom eventually, like, is looking around, doesn't know I'm nowhere to be found, eventually finds me in the preschool. But I remember just kind of being in awe and creepy in awe in the church, in rooms that the lights are kind of off or dim, places that are not, you know, active that normally you see active, and just really getting a kick out of it, going, this is just neat. There's nobody here right now, and just wandering around. So
and you know, a church is that place, like my grandmother went to the Methodist church. Mm-hmm. So every Sunday, every time I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, we always went to church. So of course that's where she had her services. And over the course of my life, several people have had their final services there. But it was weird. I went back about 4 years ago because my aunt had died. Mm-hmm. And it was just like stepping back in time, like the smells, and it was just so familiar to me, but so long ago. It was really a strange feeling to be in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, just so many people, like, that's the last place everybody went to remember you.
Yeah.
So I could see how you could stick around in a church.
Well, and there's a familiarity aspect of it too, especially the repetitive familiarity of a church where you kind of go and do the same thing every week. We when we first moved here to this area, we went to a church, a Lutheran church here that reminded me a lot of that very church that I just talked about, and went to a Christmas service there, and the music in the service. Was very much the exact format of the one that mine was when I was a child. Even that church that my parents go to in Wisconsin has kind of updated itself, and it's not the exact same music anymore. But there they are playing all these, you know, the reprisals and things like that in the service that, you know, pastor congregation, and then there's certain melodies and stuff that they play. I don't know what the correct term is, but it's things that, like, holy shit, I haven't heard that since I was like four.
And that would be really fun if you were in church. You're like, holy shit, I haven't heard this forever.
I raised my hand. I'm like, holy shit, that Pastor. This is my jam. Hallelujah. You know, and like, this is a feat. You know, and it was like, holy shit. But it was kind of it was a weird moment. It was almost kind of like moving, too, because it's like I had not heard these things since I was four. But I knew all the words. I remembered it like it was yesterday, because these things had been just ingrained in my brain at that age. And then it was just, they were gone. And I never thought to hear them again. I never knew where I would hear them again. But it was just like they had the organ playing, and it was the same, you know, it was very traditional type service. But it was weird. It took you back, just that repetitiveness, and music does that. There's a spookiness to it, though, of what it can do and what the music can do that you haven't heard for a long period of time. Do you have that when you listen to the radio sometimes, especially a station that's playing obscure songs, and you're like, oh my God, I forgot this song existed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's.
But I could totally see why churches would be a very haunted place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not because it's demonic or creepy. It's just people have strong attachments.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, you have that rogue pastor that likes to do Sunday afternoon satanic rituals. But that's, you know.
But outside of that. And that's only the Lutherans.
Exactly. It's only the Lutherans. I mean, we like to have our fun, you know.
The Methodists, they don't do that.
They don't have Sunday afternoon Satan at worships. No, I'm kidding.
Not when I was growing up.
They don't do it in the Lutheran church. So just letting you know. But and it has to be a specific synod of it for that to happen. But anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the show for today. If you like it, keep us on the air. Sign up to be an extra podcast person in EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get for only $5 a month access to all the bonus episodes, new EPP episodes every week, advanced episodes, all commercial free. It's all there. Keep us on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.